This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rod.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanik.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to our show. Hope you're having a good Tuesday. We were not on yesterday due to President's Day blood.
Celebrating our fine, fearless leaders throughout history.
Yes. I had a lot of texts from people like, where are you? I'm like, Pres Day blood.
Yeah.
Let's go. USA. USA. That's what we were doing.
Yeah. You take a victory lap with the American flag, did you?
I did.
So, well, you should.
Yeah. I wore my American flag hat golfing.
I don't have a... I've always had an American flag, and for whatever reason at this house, I do not.
Commie.
I need to get on that. I've always had one in front of the house, and I don't know. It didn't make the move. And for whatever reason, I have not managed to put one up over the last 4 years.
Let's take a look at the Club 1080 notes, shall we?
Take a look at the old tickle trunk?
Yes. Where would I most likely be fondled against my will?
Ooh.
The Catholic Church or Boy Scouts?
Interesting.
We have that story for you.
I did see this.
What else do we have? Guess who will be playing Barry Gibb in the biopic of the Bee Gees?
You?
No, but that's a good guess, because when my hair is...
properly feathered.
Yes, I do look like Barry Gibb.
One of my favorite, and it's criminally underrated, Saturday Night Live sketches of all time is the Barry Gibb talk show.
Talking it up.
On the Barry Gibb talk show. Talking about issues. Crazy cool medallions.
Justin Timberlake
played his brother.
And Jimmy Fallon.
And Jimmy Fallon played Barry Gibb. I think Robin? I think Gibb is the other one.
You know, Jimmy Fallon is a... grotesquely underrated SNL cast member.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's just because, you know, he's gone on, I mean, obviously he hosts a big late night talk show and stuff, that we forget that Jimmy Fallon was an SNL guy, but man, he was good on there.
And he was known for Weekend Update, obviously. The only thing that people throw shade at him for is he could never hold it together. He laughed.
I love that, though.
He laughed a lot through sketches.
Him and Horatio Sanz would laugh, and it's great.
Like, he'd be the Leatherman with Horatio Sanz, and like he could never hold it together.
Do you really want him to hold it together? I think the sketches are better when they're all...
I've heard it both ways, where some people are really bothered by it, and others think it's great. Like, he was in the More Cowbell sketch, you know, with...
That's right. He laughs in that.
He laughs in a lot of them. But you're right, and that Jimmy Fallon probably does not get the proper credit for his work on SNL.
And hey, just last week we were questioning what the hell Michael Bloomberg's doing.
Yeah.
Here he comes.
Told ya.
Here he comes.
Well, you said it. His plot was to just wait for everyone to like run out of money, and then he just would keep going.
So that'll be the club. This hour, we will... Well, Deion Sanders is going to preach to us, but this time it's about something important and not just him.
Oh. Are you sure?
Yes.
I feel like he's eventually...
I've heard it.
I feel like he's going to eventually bring it back to himself.
No, that's a good bet, but not in this instance.
I feel like he's incapable of speaking about something and not making it about Deion Sanders.
I will go on a limb and tell you that this audio we're going to play for you this hour of Deion Sanders preaching to us about something is the best Deion Sanders audio we've ever had.
Get right the hell out of town.
Yes.
And I do think he's a preacher now.
Oh, yes?
I think so.
Yeah. See, he's just full of hot air to me. Like, he's an eye roll oftentimes. But this, he's right. And how many times will the Astros get plunked this season? That there is an over-under that has been set.
I'd like to believe that all of us out there should be placing a wager on this. This is just good times.
So all of that is coming up right now. Caliente 5-5.
All right. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Is that right?
I don't think so.
Don't you think?
And I got excited about it.
It's time for the Hot Five.
I mean, I feel right. like that was a fairly good attempt. Five at five. There's probably something wrong about
There's
it.
There's probably some, yeah.
No, I'm half Hispanic. Refreshed on the fan. You guys didn't know that?
I did not.
I speak Spanish.
Number five.
All right. John Beilein was a mistake.
Yes. And even he admits it.
And his mom doesn't admit that.
No.
But he, yeah, even he's like, dude, this is a mess. So John Beilein, the former Michigan coach, hired to coach the Cavaliers. They are working on a settlement, and they are going to part ways.
Yeah, because originally...
54 games into a five-year contract.
Yeah, because I saw today that he was going to walk away from the contract, and I'm like, bull roar. Any chance in hell he's walking away from a five-year guaranteed deal? And that was the report earlier in the day. And now, of course, it's like, well, they're working on a settlement.
They want him gone. He wants to be gone. Yes. And,
you hate me. I hate you. Give me some money, not all of it, and send me back to you know the NCAA.
They'll figure it out. Reggie
Bickerstaff, I think, has taken over.
Reggie, again?
I feel like...
He takes over for everybody.
Exactly. I feel like if you get fired as a coach, either Kurt Rambis or J.B. Bickerstaff will end up being the interim, or maybe Larry Drew.
And then he won't get hired.
No.
Reggie Jackson will be bought out by the Pistons, and he is going to join the Clippers.
Number four.
Clippers. Okay, next on the list, Eddie DeBartolo Jr. has been pardoned by President Donald Trump.
Jerry Rice is very happy about it.
Boy, this is an... You know what? We need to carve out a segment for this story.
Well, a couple...
This is the oddest story of the sports day.
It is a bit
because
strange.
Because nobody can really figure out why Trump prioritized DeBartolo.
I know.
Like, and this was like back in the 90s or maybe even the 80s where DeBartolo... I totally forgotten about this, but he bribed the governor to give him a gambling license.
Yeah. I don't remember that either. This was one of those.
So he paid like $1 million fine. He avoided jail time, but I think the governor went to jail. Did hard time, bro.
Well, now it's all.
So now he's been pardoned. No one knows why Trump pardoned him. Some are speculating that it's because he wants to win Ohio and DeBartolo is from Youngstown, which is, I guess, because of the DeBartolos. Is a big Niners town.
Okay.
So
that's...
I don't... Honestly, the whole pardoning thing is confusing and frightening to me. I don't know much about it.
Because people...
I don't get it.
He's not in prison, people. Like, he...
No. He never did prison time. This was a long time
ago. Yeah, a long time
ago. He never did prison time. So I don't understand what... This makes no sense to me. But then again, I will repeat, I'm an idiot. Perhaps there's something I'm missing, but...
My guess is, well, you need the felony off... DeBartolo needs the felony off his record for something.
Okay.
And Trump gets something out of it.
Yeah. Campaign, and finances.
Something. Well, and he's no longer a felon. And
I don't know, man.
Jerry Rice was very excited
Charles
about it.
Charles Haley was there. They
I
were
know.
Like standing there.
By
as
the way,
he...
Charles Haley still looks like he's going to murder someone and is terrifying.
Very strange.
Yeah,
okay.
Ronnie Lott, it was a whole thing.
Here is a very good SEC Pac-12 home-and-home football series that was announced today.
Yeah.
LSU will be playing a home-and-home series with Utah.
Ooh, that's juicy.
2031.
Oh, my God.
And 2032.
Really?
Yeah. But LSU is coming to Rice-Eccles. The question is, will any of us be alive to see it?
Let's put the over-under on whether this game actually happens. I'll go 60%.
I go under.
You feel less than under. 60% that either one of those happens.
Under. Also, Charlie Strong has joined Alabama's staff as an analyst.
Yeah, dude, that guy is one of the best defensive coordinators in the country, and Alabama gets him as an analyst?
Greg Olsen is signing with the Seahawks, the former Panthers tight end. Is ancient, but good teammate.
When he's healthy, he's still a very productive player. He just can't stay healthy. But they got him on, what, a $7 million deal?
$7 million.
One-year flyer.
That's nothing.
No.
That's soup money.
And yeah, clearly. And if Greg Olsen's healthy, he makes you better. And like you said, he's a great veteran, locker room guy. Makes total sense.
Yeah, it sure does, Bill. I wanted to go back to college football for a second and tell you that Georgia and Clemson announced a neutral site game in Charlotte to kick off the 2021 season.
Yeah.
So that's a good matchup.
Yeah. Well, anytime you get that's the one thing you say about the NCAA is the neutral site games to start the year, they get better and better every year.
Now, did you know that this means that Georgia and Clemson, who some people are pissed that they don't play often
Yeah.
because they're former sort of rivals and everything, They're going to play six times over the next 13 seasons.
Oh.
Did you know that?
I didn't know
So they have this game that they just signed in Charlotte. They have a home and home for 2029, 2030. And they have another home and home for 2032 and 33.
Again.
And then they have another one-off game on there, too.
I won't get excited with something that's happening in 2030. I do hope, though, now with Vegas being completed and soon the new Rams stadium, I hope some of these neutral site games come out to the West Coast.
To make room for the 2021 game, Georgia cancels a game with San Jose State, and Clemson has canceled a game with Wyoming. And number one, Drew Brees is headed back to the Saints. We weren't sure if he was going to retire, but he is coming back for another run at it. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler believes Teddy Bridgewater will now be the odd man out, of course, as the Saints have already said that they want to hitch their wagon to Taysom Hill as a backup. So Teddy Bridgewater could garner a multi-year deal for as much as $30 million a year.
Gosh.
That's according to Jeremy Fowler.
Well, I guess the Patriots, because this has been like the rumor that maybe, you know, Bridgewater could go to the Pats. The Patriots apparently are demanding an answer from Brady before free agency hits. They're saying, look, we need to know, like, are you moving on? Are you not? And obviously Bridgewater could be, you know, a guy there maybe that New England takes a look at. But they did say that even if Brees comes back, that you will see more Taysom Hill this year in the regular offense, that they are going to start the transition process from Brees to Hill this year.
The Hot 5 at 5, refreshed by Coors Light, enter to win tickets to a Blazers home game and a $250 gift card to the team store wherever you buy your Coors Light. Coors Light! Made to chill. All right, coming up next, how many times will the Astros get plunked? 5:15 on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, I was just looking over the details of that LSU-Utah football home and home.
Yeah.
And that's pretty sweet. I mean, LSU playing at Rice-Eccles, yeah, and then Utah getting a trip down there, if it happens. I totally get your skepticism. But, you know, the Tigers, they were the ones... Didn't they have a deal with the Oregon that they backed out of, or am I thinking of maybe Washington?
Washington played LSU. I know that.
I know Oregon played him on a neutral field.
I
thought LSU had a home and home with somebody and backed out. Anyway, maybe wrong about that.
I know the Washington LSU games did happen.
Well, we give, yes, absolutely. I remember that too. But we give the SEC a lot of crap for not coming out west and playing in stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Well, LSU now has, and again, we'll wait and see if these actually happen, but they have a home and home scheduled with UCLA in 21 and 24.
Boy, I'll tell you what. So the Rose Bowl seats 100,000 people and like four go to UCLA football games. That crowd will be 70% LSU fans when they play.
Hey, will you shut up?
They also have
you guys shut up?
A home and home with Arizona State in 2029-2030. They also have home and homes outside the Pac-12 with Clemson and Oklahoma and neutral site series with Florida State. And now this with Utah.
Well, exactly.
I mean, you got to give them credit.
Exactly. If we're going to sit here and kill Alabama for never going outside of the state of Alabama.
Georgia. Georgia backed out with Oregon. You remember that?
Yeah.
So do these schools just sit and look and they go, okay, we'll schedule that. Sure. And then when it gets close to it and they're like, oh, they're pretty good. We don't want to go play that game. Why are there all these backouts?
I don't know. I don't know how, why or
they just find more
happens.
Favorable games based on
maybe you play, you know, maybe you're going to do a neutral site game and you're because those neutral site games like at Cowboy Stadium and whatever. I mean, those are huge money deals. So maybe those pop up and you're like, hey, let's go play that instead. And hey, we need to get rid of a game. And I didn't really want to go out to play Oregon anyways. And so you're not going to make that much money. The stadium's not that big. You know, it's, you know, you risk getting exposed. I mean, who knows exactly why those things go down, but I do know that a lot of those games that are booked way out in advance don't come to fruition.
How many times will the Astros get plunked? The Vegas bros at William Hill have set the over-under.
So last year, the texter had this, and I did see these numbers floating around, but thank you for texting them in because I didn't have to go look for them. Last year, the Astros were hit by 41 pitches. League average was 66.
Okay.
And Vegas has the odds on, or at least the over-under on how many they think this year.
Yeah, William Hill put the over-under at 83.5.
It's a bit high.
Well,
And the commissioner has said that he will not tolerate any tomfoolery.
Well, that's stupid.
With people throwing at the Astros.
F him.
I know.
I love how he doesn't punish the Astros players. And then other people who will try to dot him to send a message, he's like, no, you will be punished.
So that's what I'm...
Screw you, Manfred.
That's what I want to know is what...
Douche.
Are you going to really drop the hammer on people that throw at the Houston Astros? And someone had a great idea. What if teams just start calling up like AAA pitchers?
It's kind of douchey.
And bring them in just to throw it at the Astros.
Hell yeah, man.
Just bring up the young, like, Ricky Vaughn, who has no control but throws 99 to dot Springer.
I don't think you want to put a lot of those guys on base. I mean, they're tough enough as it is.
No, probably not.
But so the record.
As far as we know, they could not be that great. That's the funny thing about this.
I think they're probably.
Astros?
Yeah.
Why would they not be great?
Well, because they've been benefiting from a huge cheating scandal.
I think they're still pretty good.
I tend to think they're probably still good players, but I'm curious how much their numbers are going to take a hit without knowing every single effing pitch that's coming.
Well, it's a good point, although they didn't do it last year, and they were awesome, right? They won 107 games.
I think they're pretty good.
They did it last year.
Look, all I know.
Oh, so you think that they... Wait, they did? I mean, I'm asking. I don't know. I thought that they were... I thought the report said that they did it, of course, the whole 2017 season, and then they took it into 2018, and then at some point in the 2018 season, they quit.
Almost everybody thinks it was still happening last year, including in the playoffs and the World Series, using a different method than they were using before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But MLB couldn't prove that, so that wasn't a part of the...
Exactly. Mm. That's where the buzzers thing comes from. That's where the whistling thing comes from.
Well, if you go and read Jason Stark's article, he's of The Athletic now.
Yeah.
He did a great piece on what the electronic sign stealing meant for the Astros numbers. They are eye-poppingly different based off of the 2017 season. I would be curious to see how their splits home and road were in 2019, if everyone's saying that the Astros did it in 2019 as well. You would think then that they would mirror some of the splits from home road from 2017.
I want the Astros to go SMU. At this point, steer into the villain role. Remember SMU got caught back in the day and they're like, we don't care. We're still going to pay people. I want the Astros to just keep cheating. Just be like, you know what? We're going to keep doing it, see if you can catch us again. Just reinvent yourself.
So they've won, they won 107 games, 103 games, and 101 games each of the last three seasons.
Yeah.
Do you know what the over-under on their win total is? And you tell me whether you would bet over or under.
Well,
you can make a case, obviously, make a case both ways.
I'm going to assume it's probably 99 to 100 games.
95 and a half.
Yeah.
So... It has come down based on the idea that, well, they won't benefit from this, but also maybe based on the idea this will be trouble for them and it's a whole season thing, distractions and this and that. Or you could go the other way and say, holy crap.
That's good value.
That's a 100-win team. That's great value because they're also pissed off.
Boy, I think I would be inclined to take the over on that. I get that the Astros cheated and they benefited from this, but the Astros,
loaded,
the Astros are really good. I mean, they're ridiculous. So I'll go ahead and take the over on that. In fact, I might put a sawbuck down on that. If you're telling me 90, 95 and a half.
That's what it was on scoreboard.
Ooh. Take the over.
The record, the all-time team record, if you're wondering about the hit-by-pitch total, so they set it at 83 and a half. The all-time team record for hit-by-pitches in a season is 103 in the American League, set by the 2008 Indians, and it's 148 in the National League.
Jeebus.
Set by the 1898 Orioles.
I feel like in the 1800s, like if you wore your socks wrong, you throw at someone. That doesn't count.
Or you lean over the plate just to get on base.
Yeah, but my God.
So that 1898 O's team, because I know you love these names.
Love them.
They had Doc McJames.
Of course they did.
Boiler Yard Clark. Arlie Pond and Ducky Holmes.
I will tell you right now that baseball would be 1,000 times better if we insisted on going back to those days. Where's the oil can Boyds? Where's the Doc Goodens? Where's Three Finger Mordecai Brown?
We do have
Brown?
A Mookie Betts. That's pretty cool.
Is that his actual name or is that a nickname?
I don't know.
Bueller? Anybody?
I got nothing.
Those are great. To quote the great Burt Reynolds, those are great names. God, baseball was fantastic back in the day.
Boiler Yard Clark.
Yeah. That would be my favorite player in baseball if someone came up. Hey, are you going to go see Pistol Boyle Yard? He's out there dealing.
So if the Astros win
and
again.
By the way, they threw like 1,000 innings. Like your arm could go forever and not fall off.
If the Astros win it again, what do we think?
We think that they're really good.
Then we're like, oh.
Well, look.
No, I think they found a new way to cheat.
See, no one will ever give him credit now.
No, but it's like the Patriots thing. I'm sure Spygate helped, but the Patriots are really good. Maybe they don't win the World Series. Maybe, you know, you don't win as many games, but the Astros aren't going to fall off a cliff. Those guys are freaking really good.
Yeah, but I mean, it's hard to compare these to other scandals because I think this is really bad. Like,
yeah.
This really helped them.
Sure.
Like a lot. Go look at the numbers.
Yeah, the
read that Jason Stark article, man. It's unbelievable. So I don't know if that compares to Spygate. I mean, it's hard to know what to compare it
to. I think this has a much, much bigger impact than Spygate.
Well, I know, but you just compared it to Spygate.
Jim Crane doesn't think so.
No, we're not certain that there was an advantage gained, according to Jim Crane. Look, all I'm saying is the Astros are going to be good. How good are they? World Series champs again? They're not going to all of a sudden wake up they're going to be like an 80. They're not going to become the Mets, okay?
I would agree with that, but the Mets suck, so.
Actually, you know what? I've seen a couple people that say if you want good odds, like
under
dark horse,
under
no, not win totals, World Series champs. Like if you want to look through the odds,
oh f off.
I've seen a handful of different gambling sites that say the Mets. Not that they're going to. If you're look, you know, you always say you look for value, right? A team that is getting great odds and maybe surprises some people that it could be the Mets.
Look, yeah, I'm going to follow Colin Wilson and just take the Reds blindly.
It could be the Mets. I mean, they have good pitching and all that, but they're the Mets. They'll screw it up. They're like the Browns. They're like the...
And they've got some people they can hit. Don't poo-poo on the Mets.
Again, they're just... It's a dysfunctional franchise that will screw it up.
I understand.
Okay, wait. Where were we? Bill.
I don't know what happened.
The 2008 Indians team, if you're wondering who was on that team wasn't very good. I mean, they were a 500 team, but they had a ton of hit-by-pitch guys like Ryan Garko. You remember him?
Yeah.
Kelly Shopik.
And so people that just were leaning in.
Dave DeLucci. They just had a bunch of those guys. They got plunked 103 times. So that tells you that's the AL record is 103. The over-under set for the Astros is 83.5. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, how many times are you going to... I think early in the season it might be a thing, but is that really going to happen all year?
No.
Every time they face a new team for the first time.
Well, like I said, early in the season, but I guess you don't see a team... Interleague, at least, until later.
Or other divisions. Sometimes you wait until August or something.
Sometimes really? You wait till August to see a team for the first time?
Oh, yeah.
And then maybe you can claim it's not retribution. You're like, oh, you know, no, we waited. Now we're going to plunk you.
So do you think that you would take the over or under there?
I would be inclined
to take the under.
I'm going to take the under.
You know, especially because MLB's saying, hey, we're going to crack down on your ass.
Exactly. And like, I'm sure it'll happen early, but if they do crack down, I'm guessing that it's going to...
However... Don't you,
fall off.
Whoever they play, I don't know if the schedule's out. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. Are they playing the Mariners? Playing the A's? Who are they playing? Whoever they play on opening day, George Springer is going to get plunked.
Absolutely.
Right? He has to.
I believe they're playing the Angels opening day.
100%. Okay, so who would that be? That'd be, who's their A? Would it be Ohtani?
Probably Ohtani.
Ohtani.
Yeah. Ohtani's got to plunk him.
You have to.
Everybody's going to be waiting for that.
You have to. But then the thing is, do you get run?
It's the ceremonial plunk.
I wonder if you get run. Are they going to come out before the game and just be like,
know.
Hey, just so you know, you
know.
Hit him, you're gone. Is it, can you plunk him on the first pitch opening day?
Well, I think you have to.
Yeah, but knowing that you're going to get run?
Yeah.
By the way, to Colin Wilson's point, the Reds right now, plus 3,000 in some places.
Yeah, but that used to be way better odds to bet on. He caught him early.
Yeah.
Because of course he did.
You can get the Mets.
That's what he does.
You can get the Mets at about plus 2,300 right now.
Where are my Royals?
Ooh, I'm scrolling.
Not that it matters.
Ooh, they're second to last.
Who's last? Baltimore?
The Marlins.
Oof.
The Royals are worse than the Orioles?
So I'm looking I'm looking here and it's a four-way tie.
Hello, darkness, my old
The
friend.
Orioles, the Tigers, the Royals, and the Marlins.
We won a title, baby.
Actually have all the same odds.
And you made two of them.
Mariners, by the way, fifth worst. You care to take a guess? Plus
Mariners?
No. Bottom four. So the Mariners are fifth, but the bottom four are all tied. The Orioles, Tigers, Royals, Marlins, all same odds.
Hey, we'll be better than the Tigers. What did you say? Plus 20,000.
I was gonna say plus 30,000.
Yeah, that's spot on.
What?
Plus 20,000.
Okay.
Those four are
all. Well, that's just a waste of money.
Yeah. Mariners, by the way, plus 15,000. Giants, plus 1,000.
Giants.
I'm trying to think, it, like, if you're trying to find, like decent odds, the Red Sox are plus 3,500.
Yeah, but they're, yeah. I don't know.
Angels are at plus.
I'm not ready for this combo yet.
Angels are at plus 3,000, had a nice offseason.
Yeah, but they didn't get Jock Peterson or Stripling.
Oh, that's right. That got voided.
Yeah, but you have Trout.
And Rendon.
He plays there.
And Ohtani's back fully healthy.
Yeah. Nice little, the AL West, I take the A's. If somebody is going to take out the Astros in the AL West, I'd bet the A's. What are the A's at?
Sorry, let me pull that back up.
Have they done anything this offseason?
Searching.
No, I think they're bringing back a damn good team.
They are at 2,700. Just above the, well, nope, tied with the Reds.
To win the World Series?
To win the World Series.
Okay.
Plus 2,700.
I'd probably take them to win the AL West. I don't know what those odds are, but you know, maybe there's a shot. If the Astros take a dip, I'd bet on them.
This is just to, I just brought up to win the World Series.
Yeah, all right. Well, any whoosies.
Look, the Astros are going to get hit a bunch, but I don't think it at a historic rate.
How will Astros fans react to their cheating-ass team?
That's Dusty. He hasn't wavered one bit.
Well, no, but I mean, like, when they get out there. Like, will they'll be like the defiant, yes, our guys.
Well, and it's like you and Bill Self.
Yeah, that's my guy.
You know, it's exactly.
Guy's great.
They will rally the troops and circle the wagons 100% because they are the most hated team in sports right now. And fan is about to become the douchiest fan this side of Yankee fan.
I was talking about this with somebody yesterday. It's like
the best is I said that Mike goes, eh. I looked over there and he gave the shoulder shrug like, yeah.
All I would want as an Astros fan is just them to have handled it well.
Yeah.
See, if I'm an Astros fan, if I'm truly a fan of that team, I'm like, screw you. We can win the title, whatever. F off. Mental gymnastics. You know how we do.
Sure.
But, boy, it would really stick in my craw that they handled it the way they have.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be like, man, just say the right thing.
Kind of like Kansas.
And move on.
Kind of like Kansas basketball.
No, they did nothing wrong.
It's funny.
They have
just,
not. No.
You just want your team to come clean.
No. No. Do not compare. Again, this is a false equivalency, sir, and I will not stand for it.
That seems like the same thing to me.
It is not the same thing.
Okay.
Now, if the NCAA comes out and hammers Kansas and says, here's what happened, which has not happened.
You know, Bill Self is on tape.
When they do that and Kansas handles it poorly, I will vow to you that will be disappointing to me.
Okay. It's not going to change anything, but you'll be disappointed.
I'll still be a fan, but, okay. I mean, that's my team. That's my school, man.
That's my quarterback.
It's my quarterback. But it's just really, disappointing the way the Astros handled it. And
I
it would
agree.
Be really disappointing if your Mets handled, well, your Mets are kind of a mess.
Yeah, they are.
But
In
you
fact,
know what I mean.
I will tell you right now that if the Wilpons handled this, I would be like, yeah, that's about on brand.
If
yeah,
it comes out right. where NCAA says all this stuff happened and Kansas himself remains defiant and like,
yeah, all Houston Astros.
And Lion and crap. It's just like, man,
Rick Pitino, right?
Yeah, that's BS.
Yeah, you're like, you got it, man.
Come on.
Take your medicine.
But they haven't done that yet.
No.
Which is your false equivalency.
They have not. Everything's on the up and up, I promise.
The other, okay, one other thing regarding this, and then we'll move on to Deion Sanders preaching. That's next. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, one other element of this Astros thing. As somebody wrote today on internet, don't underestimate the dynamic at play here that the Astros ruined this for everybody. In other words, yeah, there are a lot of players coming out now that they're back at spring training and getting interviewed, and they're being quite critical of the Astros.
Sure.
But somebody, look, this was a league-wide memo that MLB sent about electronic sign stealing. So we don't know to what extent other teams were doing it, but there is a lot of buzz that a lot of teams were doing this, which is why you didn't hear boo from a lot of teams and still haven't.
Yeah.
So the idea that the Astros have ruined this for everybody is really at play as well. There's a lot of bitterness there, too.
What if the offensive numbers across the board just go right in the Esser.
Plummet.
We just end up.
We start getting Bob Gibson ERAs.
Just dead ball era. And then, like, the announcers will have to come out and be like, well, it's a dominant era of pitching here. And no one will acknowledge the fact that sign stealing was league wide.
Yeah.
Like, no one's hitting, no one's jacking bombs anymore.
That's funny. What about earpieces? What's next? Like, what? I know the watches are actually a thing.
Yeah.
Catcher and pitcher synced watches.
Sure. Well, that was kind of my point. It was like, that's what I'm hoping for. I want the Astros to steer into the skid. I want them to just be like, all right, well, you caught us. Let's go right back to cheating. Just be like, all right, let's come up with a new and creative way. They'll never catch us again.
Well,
no, right?
I was talking more about like how to combat it.
No. Oh.
You know, you could have, well, what about telepathy devices? You know, pitcher can just read the catcher's mind.
Well, you have in the NFL, I mean, the technology is there, right? I mean, coaches talk to.
Well, yeah. What about that? I was half joking, but earpieces?
Yeah. Well, and again, I guess you wouldn't necessarily have the catcher be able to do it, but.
The manager could,
but
cover his mouth with a play sheet.
Yeah. But if the catcher is saying it, then the hitter would obviously hear it.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
or that's where the watch thing comes in. It's like you just type in the boop, 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 type in the code.
What was that one more time?
Boop, 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 and then you shake it off, and then it's boop, 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 boop. And then he shakes it off, and then it's.
I do feel.
And then he shakes it off.
I do feel.
You've
like
already done that one before, Rob.
That yes, technology could be used.
Well,
to
that's the sound
this.
Effect for calculator.
That is. He's like
it's universal.
He's like the old Buck Rogers, like the Twinkie. What did that be?
What?
That was the remember Twinkie, old Buck Rogers?
No.
The little robot. Mm-mm. You weren't a Buck Rogers fan.
Buck Rogers a little before my time.
Oh, I love me some Buck
and
Rogers.
And you're younger than I am. That's
Colonel
weird.
Wilma Deering, a.k.a. Aaron Gray.
All right, so up next, Deion Sanders is just typically a blowhard, right?
Yes, I find him insufferable.
However, he posted a one-minute video about something that does need to be discussed, and I think he's right. So let's listen, shall we?
Let's.
We'll do that next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, well, finally we get to listen to Deion Sanders speak about something that we're all passionate about, and if we're not, we should be, as men. And this, I think, is just from his Instagram or something.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't follow Deion, but, you know.
Nor do I. I find him insufferable.
I couldn't agree more. He's just a blowhard. He's all about himself, and he always has been. But here he is on a very important subject, and I would like to play this for you now on Sports Talk.
Fellas, I'm sick and tired of it. Straight up. I can't take it no more, and I got to say something about it. How hard is it to hit water in the toilets at a public restroom? So now I got to go in there and I got to make a decision. Either I get some tissue or something and lift the seat up that you impede all on, or when I walk out and the next gentleman come in, he gonna think it's me. So I got to take care of you. And I don't even know you like that. How hard is it to hit water? Man, do the split. If you ain't close enough, do the split and get closer to the water.
Hell yeah.
How hard is it? This is pet peeve, man. Fellas, we got to do better. Truth.
Hell yes. Truth.
Bravo, Deion. Bravo.
God.
Boy, he is livid.
Well, don't you get... I think... Okay. I don't know why this is only just now coming out from Deion.
It's being addressed.
Yes, but... He couldn't be more right.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe Deion is just lives in a world where he's used to private toilets.
Okay.
And he's only just now getting to this at his, this year. I don't know. But guys like you and I, and most people listening.
Yeah.
We have been.
We've dealt with this for years.
Yes. And we've been almost like we're desensitized to it.
Yeah.
You don't even get pissed about it anymore because it's so common.
Yep. I've even got a technique for it and everything.
Well, okay, so wait a minute.
Yeah, I'll sometimes wipe the seat off for them.
I do that too. And yeah. I feel like I feel like there are two types of people in the world. People that are conscientious peers and people that aren't. Yeah. And if you aren't, you're a horrible person.
Yeah.
And you need to you're not going to be banished from society because nobody really watches you pee. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. You can get away with it.
Yeah.
But you a-holes.
You deep down know.
You know. And if you don't know, pay attention and be better. Okay? Be better. Because he's right. We have to go in and we see a situation and we're like, okay, now what? Do I ignore this?
Yeah.
Do I wipe it up? And I'm a wiper-upper.
Yeah.
I clean up.
But I do it with my shoe. I do the shoe mitt.
Yeah, that's one way to do it.
I do a big wad, and then you just you put it on there, and then you either wrap the shoe or you put a big wad on the, and then you use the shoe. I won't go handsies. No.
Make sure I get a big enough wad so that I'm only holding the back of with my hand, and the rest touches the
seat. Big sponge. But yeah. I do often.
We clean carefully.
And here's the thing. I would tell you, if you go in and
I'm not touching your pee.
No, and I see a little splash. Right? You're like, all right, it's one thing.
You don't deserve me to touch your urine.
But when you see someone that has clearly just gone willy-nilly and has done a helicopter sort of move, that's the one I'm like, really?
It's unbelievable.
You looked at that and decided that you're just going to leave it? Shame on you.
Does that mean that at your toilet at home you leave it too? Because every once in a while you get a little sprinkle in the seat and you wipe it up after you're done.
That's right.
No, see, I think these people are that inconsiderate. I think they're
home
toilets.
At home they do the same thing?
No, I think their home toilets, they're more aware because it's theirs.
I'm not certain. I think a lot of those people are assuming that the wife will clean it up or they're just disgusting people. You should have some bleach wipes in your bathroom at all times ready to go, though. Because, look, it does happen. It does happen where there's a rogue and it takes a hard left, and what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, you clean it up.
Yeah. The one I am baffled by.
But it shouldn't happen every time.
No. Like I said, it just sometimes, it's like, hey.
I'm a pretty good bullseye peer.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. I wouldn't say that it's like, I don't know if I would be, if we're having some sort of competition, I'm not winning it.
Now see, sometimes.
But I'm a courteous human being and I'll clean up after myself.
Sometimes you have to, adjust.
Yeah.
Right, you gotta change the play call.
Exactly.
Because you have put out a game plan that is giving you some backsplash.
And that's kind of my point.
And then you gotta go to the play sheet and go, I'm gonna mix this up.
And I make second half adjustments, but it doesn't change the fact that the first half was still garbage.
There's still mess.
And then I have to go and clean it up. But I do it is a responsibility to clean up. The one that I hate more than
sometimes
anything.
Sometimes you don't expect the game plan that's gonna be coming.
No. Again, they throw a defense at you, you think you've got it, and then like you said, the defense responds, there's backsplash.
Defense blitzes three different ways and you're going, how is this possible?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've had this,
Jerry Glanville.
But at my gym, this happens. They miss the urinal.
Yeah.
And it infuriates
me. Yeah, I've seen that.
How is that possible?
I don't know. It is a gall darn urinal and they miss it all the time. And then you end up with a pool, like at the base, or it ends up on the wall or on top of the urinal. It is inexcusable. I get sometimes that there's a distance factor with the bowl and things can go rogue, but how on earth are you missing the effing urinal?
How does the puddle form?
What do you mean?
Well,
why? Because they're hitting the wall, and then gravity takes over.
I'm just saying. Like, why is it so big? Like, it's almost as if
multiple people.
Yeah. It's as if everybody's missing except you.
Either that or there's one guy that's just like, he doesn't care. He just goes rogue and pees on the floor, pees on the wall. It shouldn't be that hard a thing. And let me just say this too. You can call it an unmanly thing, but if you can't control yourself or if you can't handle the cleanup, sit your ass down, right? And go that style. No, I'll tell you right now, when my kid was little.
Saying sit to pee?
You sit to pee. When my kid was little,
I don't know if I can get behind that.
You're a kid and sometimes, you're a kid. You're learning how to do it. And we had to be like, man, until you can figure it out, you may have to sit for a little bit. If you can't do it, sit down.
I don't know if many people are going to do that. That's unrealistic.
No, it's not.
It really is.
Filthy animals.
Which would you rather have? Which would you rather do? Let's say you're this guy.
Yeah.
And so you have two choices. You can clean up. Mm-hmm. Actually, you have three choices. You can be an ass and walk out.
Don't do that.
But the two choices you should have are clean up or sit to pee.
Yeah.
You're probably just going to clean up.
I would hope.
I just don't think guys are sitting to pee.
But if you can't, if you're not willing to clean up, then sit to pee. I do it. So look, I'll admit that sometimes I sit to pee, one, when I've had a few too many. Because look, the aim isn't, and there's no one else at the house with me, so I know no one's cleaning up but me. And if I've had a few too many, look, it happens from time to time where I get in front of a fire and I get into a bottle of Lagavulin and then I bumper bowl my way upstairs. I know for a fact that my aim is not going to be on point. Therefore, on those nights, I will sit or middle of the night pees. You know, you get like a 2:30, 3 a.m., you wake up, you stumble your way into the bathroom, sit to pee again, because I know that it's not going to be an accurate venture in there, and I don't want to clean it up. You can call me unmanly all you want, but those are responsible things. And if you can't handle the responsibility, sit your ass down. Well, and by the way, sometimes it's quite nice not to worry about it.
Calm down.
Dion is right. Dion is right about this, and I'm glad he said it.
Yeah.
Because it takes prominent figures like him to get the word out.
Who would have thought
the same thing as the airplane thing?
Did you see
all of a sudden it just comes out of nowhere and you're like, hey, this is a big issue.
Social media.
Who would have thought Dion of all people would be the leader of men to lead us into battle here?
Right. That I would not have had him in the pool to lead that charge.
Yeah.
But I am getting on my horse. I'm raising my sword. I am behind him.
And let me just say this too, which is the most I can't believe we haven't touched on the most egregious part of the toilet peers.
Don't put the seat up.
You know you're a toilet peer, right? You know that you don't trust yourself. You know you're not going to clean it up. Lift the effing seat. How hard is that? You know that you do it. And you, by the way, you don't have to touch it. Get a foot underneath there. Raise the thing up. And, you know, if you are going to miss, at least you've got the seat up.
Bastards. All of them bastards. Did you see the latest curb?
No, I have not seen the latest curb.
Oh, yeah, you were out of town.
I was out of town.
Larry makes the P cube.
The P cube?
Yeah. Yeah, he's putting the pea cube in his spite latte.
Larry's lattes?
Yeah.
What's the pea cube?
It's his own design where he makes it so that, and the guy builds it so that it detects ween. And then when it detects ween, it opens the chute, and then you pee down the chute. And he says he wants to put a vacuum in there, so it vacuums the pee down. So it eliminates backsplash and puddles.
It's genius.
But then Leon comes along and is like, Larry, that ain't gonna work. Because you know, Leon's packing heat.
Yeah, he's part of the Big Johnson Club. Yeah,
exactly. So that's not gonna work for the Big Johnson Club. And then it also looks dangerously like a ween guillotine. Uh-huh. It looks like you could, if you get a little too close, it could slap down the door on you.
Slap chop you. Hi-ya!
It's good stuff. Well, anyway, thank you, Dion. You've finally said something worthwhile.
Yes.
Club 1080 is next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.